Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, a wild and crazy Tuesday, it's hard to keep up with all the news at this point in time. We have the FBI diming out ICE for the raid, FEMA employees stroking $59 million checks of your money, the North Koreans are dying in droves. That actually, I'm going to talk about that in a moment, believe it or not. We have that. The tariff stuff seems to be ramping up. Democrats, are they committing, quote, political suicide, as one liberal analyst thinks? All that, emails, Josh Hammer to explain the activist judge phenomenon, and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I'm going to begin with a story you don't care about. How about that? Just stay with me, though. You don't care about the story, and to be honest, I don't care about this story. But I'm going somewhere with this, so hear me out. There's a story today out of American Military News, although I've heard from my military sources stuff like this for a while, about the North Koreans and their casualty rate in the Russia-Ukraine war. I know you're already rolling your eyes. You don't care. I don't care either. Stay with me. The bottom line, the story is today that they're suffering up to 50% casualty rate, the North Koreans. So let's rewind a little bit. Russia fighting in Ukraine, you got all that. Russia fights in Ukraine. Russia and North Korea are very much tied together. There's all kinds of, North Korea exists, they need Russian oil. They work with each other, a real axis of evil type thing. And for whatever reason, depends on who you talk to, at some point in this conflict, Kim, the head of North Korea, the dictator, the all-powerful one, pointed a finger to his military and ordered thousands of his troops to go help the Russians fight the Russian-Ukrainian war. Now, let's just walk through this. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. Let's say you're a man born in North Korea. You are born into one of the most oppressive communist hellholes in the history of the world. You, me, we talk about the Soviet Union or Cambodia or Mao or even what we're going through now. And we always talk about these horrible demonic communist regimes as if they're all in the past. But there's one right now, where people starve to death in droves. No rights, no nothing. But you're a young baby boy, you're born into that system in North Korea. You are, whether you like it or not, whether your parents like it or not, you are indoctrinated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from your school to your music to your television. You are indoctrinated to believe you must be loyal to the regime at all times. You sign up for the military, put the uniform on, and you can imagine, just
imagine what that life is like. The life of an American soldier is hard. An American Marine is hard, especially the guys on the front lines. Now, we are a well-supplied country that cares for our troops. What do you think it's like in the North Korean Army? So you're born into that system. You're indoctrinated into that system. You sign up to fight in that system. And at some point, you are ordered to go fight for Russia because Russia invaded Ukraine. And you, as a young man, find yourself on the front lines, because if you read the article, and I had already heard this, Russia, of course, took the North Korean troops and just tossed them right on the front lines as what essentially amounts to a meat shield. You are thrown onto the front lines in a horrible conflict that has artillery being lobbed back and forth like it's World War I all over again, drones hunting you down to explode in your lap as you sleep, and you are on the front lines watching half of your buddies die in a country you don't care about as you wear the uniform of a country that forced you to do all of this. Now, why in the world, with everything going on with FEMA and the FBI and ICE and all this other crap and the judicial activism, why would I open up talking about this? Why is this on my mind? Well, because I've gotten so many emails over the past couple weeks of not necessarily celebrating, of anger and sadness about where we are as a country. Emails exactly like this one. I'll tell you what, I'll read you this one right here. The subject of this one is, I want receipts or I want my money back. Dear my favorite small-handed non-oracle, with all this government spending coming to light now, the crap it's supposedly spent on, I want receipts or I want my money back. I've been working for roughly 38 years, paying taxes roughly 38 years, and I have nothing to show for it. I don't have a house. I don't have a nice car. I don't take many vacations. And when I do, it's usually 3 to 5 days somewhere in the States. The nicest things I have right now are a couple Chinese spy drones that I had to fix myself. And I'll probably end up selling those to pay my rent and utility bill and buy food for my family. Meanwhile, U.S. government officials have 2, 3, 4 houses, take 6-month vacations whenever they want, make 500% returns in the stock market. Show me what my tax dollars have been spent on for the past 38 years or give it back. And he said, I can say his name. His name is Jason. I would imagine the chances are strong you feel some of what Jason is feeling right now. We wake up in the morning like we did this morning. Well, this was yesterday, and we see a headline that while you couldn't afford a basic vacation, while you're fixing up drones to pay the rent, the United States government took your money and sent $57 million of it to make sure the illegals in New York could be put up in nice suites with your money. You see the amount of your money that has been spent on communist activism around the globe. Every day we wake up and we find out more and more and more. And I know you're happy. I'm happy. We're all excited about where we're going. But I'm getting a real sense that we are at the same time, and I know I am, mortified by how bad it is. And I knew it was bad. I talk about it all the time. How many years have I been talking to you about this? But even I wake up and I just, the numbers are eye-popping. The breadth of corruption, it's hard to take in. And if you're a taxpayer, maybe struggling to make ends meet, you look at how corrupt and evil your government is, and it's hard, isn't it? It can be hard if you let it consume you. So I don't know if what I'm about to say is going to ease that pain at all. It's hard to ease that kind of pain. But I will just say this. We are all cogs in the wheel. In North Korea, that's the system you're born in. And you're going to die getting incinerated by an artillery round on the front lines of Russia. here in the United States of America. I didn't create this corrupt, evil system. You didn't create it. It's not your fault. But this is what we've been given. And I'm about to discuss the system fighting back. I'm about to discuss more of the corruption. I'm about to discuss the things we need to do about it. And it can be hard to have these talks, and it can be hard. It can be really hard to accept that, just like Jason, you worked your entire life to fund tranny surgeries in Guatemala. Now, that's very difficult for me. And judging by the volume of emails I get, it's very difficult for you. Don't let it consume you. You can get mad about it, and I can get mad about it, and we'll discuss it every day on the show, and we'll laugh, and we'll yell, and we'll cry, and we'll do all these things together, you and me. But don't let the evil of this government, the evil of the people who run this country, consume you, because there's not a dang thing you could have done about it up until now. We are cogs in the wheel. We have been ruled by an evil government because evil people decided to take it over years ago so they could simply do whatever they wanted to do. Now, the question is, how do we handle this now? How do we dig ourselves out of this trench we find ourselves in? And can we? Is it even possible? Let's discuss all that next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, and you should. We love your emails. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. And we are going to get to all this corruption. In fact, we'll dig into the FBI stuff here immediately. Remember, Josh Hammer is going to join us about 10 minutes from now to talk about these activist judges and things. One final word on that casualty rate, because Jewish producer Chris had a question. I said they got 50% casualties. Chris said, is that a lot? That's a lot. Now, that said, remember last night's Medal of Honor Monday when we were discussing Iwo Jima? There were units on Iwo Jima that had 110% casualties. Now, Chris has the same look on his face that you have. How's it possible to have 110%? That means you walked in there with 100 men. Every single one of them went down. You brought in 10 more men, and they went down too. So everyone in your first unit went down, and then all your replacements went down. It's possible. It's happened before. Anyway, let's discuss the FBI. I went off about it last night, that the FBI has to cease to exist completely. Not reforms, not firing a couple bad actors. Let's save the great men and women on the ground. It must cease to exist because of what it has become. It cannot be saved. Yeah, we're excited about Cash Patel getting in there and making some reforms, but it cannot be saved. And more importantly, it should not be saved. Did you hear what Tom Homan said? Now, before I play Tom Homan on Fox News for you, I just want to recap what happened. ICE, they're doing raids all across the country. The people they're raiding right now, this is going to be important for the purpose of this story. The people they're raiding right now really are the worst of the worst. I want every illegal arrested and sent home, every one of them. But probably appropriately, they are focusing on the Tren de Aragua MS-13 types. I'm talking monsters who the Biden administration brought into this country on purpose. That's who they're going after now. And there are a lot of them. And I do mean a lot of these types in the country.
So a man faces a charge of attempted second-degree murder after a hammer attack near the campus of Nicholls State University.
University says
the monsters the Biden administration brought into the country that are hunting down, raping, and murdering our women, dealing drugs, pulling people's fingernails out, those are the people ICE is going after now. Some truly frightening individuals. Some of them are so bad, they're already shipping them off to Gitmo. Just not even salvageable human beings. Send the animal to the cage for the rest of his life. That's who ICE is hunting down now. But you may remember, I believe it was from last week, ICE showed up and they were going after Tren de Aragua, and they were gone. They knew they were there. ICE shows up, and they were gone. So very clearly, someone had tipped them off. But who would that someone be? And so immediately, I'll tell you what I thought. Immediately, I thought to myself, well, that's probably some clerk, some crazy commie hag secretary or something, got a hold of a memo and texted her friend, and that's how the word got out. But that's not what Tom Holman said.
Again, I'll let the Department of Justice do their own investigation. But again, I talked to the Deputy Attorney General this week, and they've opened up a criminal investigation. He thinks the information is coming from there also, so we'll let that investigation play out. But some of the leads point that way.
What way? The Federal Bureau of Investigation. So let's just process this. The Biden administration brought in as many criminals, terrorists, and monsters as humanly possible. They did it all with your money. They did it on purpose. We now have demons all around us in this country. The Trump administration appropriately is trying the best they can to get these people out of the country before they can hurt anyone else. And the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who was supposedly tasked with keeping Americans safe and solving crime, has someone or some people in it who doesn't want the criminals deported. So they leaked the raid and the criminals got away. I don't care if this was just one person. I don't care if it was just one field office. If this takes place inside the walls of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, then the Federal Bureau of Investigation can no longer exist in any form. Any form at all. The entire agency must be removed. Because remember what we've been talking about. 80 years of the communists doing the long march through the institutions. 80 years of taking over this and that and this bureaucracy and that bureaucracy and that bureaucracy. And the result of that is it reached its final form. What we're looking at right now is pretty much the final form of the system. We're looking at the communists having completed their takeover of all of these institutions, and now the question is, how do we fix it? How do we even begin getting that right? Because remember, every single thing the Trump administration is doing right now, it's wonderful. This is just starting to clean up the mess. 80 years of corruption and rot. We're not even close to being where we were when Joe Biden took over. What do we do about that? We will discuss what step one needs to be after we talk to Josh Hammer next. Josh Hammer, lawyer, is going to join us and discuss these activist judges trying to stop everything. Is this even legal? Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and anyone who's listened to this show for any length of time knows exactly what that intro music means. That means my friend, host of America on Trial, Josh Hammer, joins us now to discuss the judges, the legal roadblocks that have been put up. Josh, I may just hand you the show for the rest of the evening because people have questions, concerns, they're screaming from the rooftops. We have rogue judges getting involved in everything from tranny websites to stopping Doge to everything else. Josh, how does this happen? How can this happen? Is any of this legal? How do we stop it?
Well, Jesse, lots to unpack there, to put it mildly, my friend. So I have a new essay actually on this exact topic. It's out at Unheard, which is a British publication. And I would encourage listeners, if you have time, go ahead and check it out. The title of the essay is Anti-Trump Judges Sparked a Legal Crisis. So the short answer, Jesse, is that none of what they're doing right now is legal. None of it is kosher. None of it is constitutional. This entire idea that a rogue district court judge in Rhode Island or New Hampshire, Hawaii, California, whatever, can go ahead and just issue a nationwide injunction and bring the entirety of the executive branch to a halt. This would have just totally, absolutely horrified the founders and greatest statesmen of this country. So just to give a few examples of that, Thomas Jefferson, in an 1804 letter to Abigail Adams, he famously said that to give to judges, quote, the right to decide what laws are constitutional and what not, not only for themselves in their own sphere of action, but for the legislature and executive also in their spheres, would make the judiciary a despotic branch, a despotic branch. Abraham Lincoln, famously in his first inaugural address in 1861, when he was rejecting the Dred Scott case, the pro-slavery case from Chief Justice Roger Taney in 1857, Lincoln said in 1861, quote, that the candid citizen must confess that if the policy of the government upon vital questions affecting the whole people is to be irrevocably fixed by decisions of courts, the instant they are made in ordinary litigation between parties and personal actions, the people will have ceased to be their own rulers. Much like Jefferson, Lincoln warned about a lurking judicial despotism. Jesse, the point is that when you file a suit in federal court, you are subject to what Article 3 of the Constitution calls the judicial power. Okay, easy enough. But what is the judicial power? Well, as folks like Lincoln properly intuited, the judicial power, properly speaking, only includes the ability to bind the parties to a lawsuit. They cannot go a millimeter further than that. This idea that you can just get a random lawsuit in Seattle or Boston and then just bind everyone across the country, it's ludicrous. It is not our system of governance. Clarence Thomas, in his concurring opinion back in 2018 in the Trump versus Hawaii case, that landmark national security immigration case, Clarence Thomas, in his concurring opinion, said that this is not right and the court's going to have to step in if lower court judges keep on doing it. And that day has not yet come, but Clarence Thomas was very prescient, as always, we might say. And I'm hoping, Jesse, that the Supreme Court steps in here sooner rather than later to fix this.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up Clarence Thomas and the Supreme Court, Josh, because legal minds I follow are screaming right now that the Supreme Court needs to step in and step in quickly, because you and I both know that as of tomorrow morning, we're going to wake up to another headline about this judge stopping that, and the next day another judge stopping that. This continues without end, making Donald Trump's four-year presidency essentially null and void until the Supreme Court steps in. So when are they going to step in?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts here, right? So on the one hand, there are various legal questions where on the merits, so to speak, that they're going to have to step in. So birthright citizenship is one issue where they're going to have to get involved here sooner rather than later. You've had at least three judges from Seattle, Washington to Concord, New Hampshire, who have said that Donald Trump's executive order on birthright citizenship is unconstitutional, which they are wrong about. It's actually perfectly constitutional, and I would argue it's actually good law and good policy. So they're going to have to weigh in when it comes to things like that, when it comes to a straight-up 14th Amendment in this particular case, constitutional question, right? On the other hand, there is the question of nationwide injunctions in general, and what to do about them, and that's a separate case, but it is one that I think that SCOTUS is rapidly realizing that they're going to have to deal with sooner rather than later. At some point, Jesse, back in the year 2019. The DOJ Office of Legal Policy issued a memo that found that there were more nationwide injunctions issued against the Trump administration just in the first three and a half years than against all previous presidents combined. So they're not really hiding it. They're flagrantly abusing it. They did the first time around. They're doing it this time around as well. And I think that the justices on the court are rapidly realizing that they cannot let this stand for much longer here. The time is approaching now.
Okay, so explain to me, because I don't understand how this stuff works, and you, are, having been a clerk, are intimately aware of how this stuff works. Where's this go from here? Does somebody have to bring it to the Supreme Court? If they bring it to the Supreme Court 5 minutes from now, what's the timeline like from there? In case you haven't picked up on it, Josh, I'm fairly desperate for this stuff to stop, and I want to know when it can stop. I'm not asking you to predict the future, but how does it get to the Supreme Court from here?
Well, SCOTUS pretty much always has the ability to fast-track litigation if you seek a direct appeal to it. That is not done in the ordinary course of litigation. Typically, you have to work your way up through the ranks when it goes from the federal district court to the federal court of appeals, and then you file a what's called a writ of certiorari, trying to seek a discretionary case at the Supreme Court there. So that's the normal way to do this, but we're not living in normal times. And let's take one of these nationwide injunctions, the likes of which, for instance, we saw yesterday in Rhode Island by this scoundrel, Judge McConnell, there in Rhode Island, who is threatening to hold the Trump administration in criminal contempt. But he's threatening to hold them in criminal contempt if they do not allow all of their spending decisions to go through his chambers. I mean, the chutzpah on this guy, Jesse. I mean, this is exactly the judicial despotism that Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, and others warned about many, many years ago there. So at that point, the DOJ, if they wanted to, then could try to expedite an appeal to the United States Supreme Court on the question as to whether or not the relief, the remedy of a nationwide injunction was proper. Thus far, in that particular case, the one in Rhode Island, the DOJ is appealing to the First Circuit, the appellate court above it. It looks like they're not going for an appeal on the issue of the nationwide injunction. They're just going to basically try to reverse the order there. So they're not taking that approach yet. But I would encourage Pam Bondi and the lawyers there to really try to do all that you can to get to tee up squarely for the justices the question as to the constitutionality of so-called nationwide injunctions. The final thing I'll say, Jesse, is that there's a little bit of what's good for the goose is good for the gander situation here. So, for instance, when Joe Biden was president, you did have some conservative-leaning judges who would use the nationwide injunction. You know, there are some judges right there in Texas, where I know that you are based, that have done that as well there. So there's a little bit of that going on there. But these things, frankly, are just not constitutional, and we should not play this game any longer.
He is Josh Hammer. Go read his stuff if you want to get a lot more boned up on this legal stuff. Josh, my friend, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You bet. Thanks, Jesse.
Look, this is just, it's what we've been talking about for a few days now. It's what we've been talking about tonight. Decade after decade after decade, we'll call it 80 years of building a machine, building a system that only serves the left and works against the right. What is the sole purpose of the system? We've talked about it a million times. What do? It exists to protect itself. So what we're seeing right now is it attempting to protect itself from a threat it has never seen before, including the first Trump presidency. How far will they go? I don't know. And that rhymed. And that was awesome. Really awesome. Don't shake your head, Chris. Now, you know what else is awesome? Having pain disappear from your life. When you have this thing. I got a stress fracture one time in my foot. And it just sucked. I couldn't work out. I kept walking around with a boot on. There were just so many things I wanted to do I couldn't do anymore. Well, Relief Factor is here to take that back pain of yours away, that elbow pain, your bicep hurts. It's a natural nutritional supplement, 100% drug-free supplement. You take it every day that helps your body's natural response to pain. Stop masking it. Start taking Relief Factor. Let it build up in your system. The longer you take it, the better it works. You can buy a 3-week pack of it for $19.95. If it works, order some more. If it doesn't, don't. That's it. You're not signing up for anything. ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Speaking of bringing the thunder, thank you, AC/DC. It's time to talk about beginning to bring the communist activists to heal from within the walls of the government. Now, before I get to that specific thing, I want to remind you of a couple things. One, you can download a podcast or the podcast of the show, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Two, the paperback copy of the Anti-Communist Manifesto is out today. I told you yesterday it was out, and I was a liar, but you can get it at jessekellybook.com. So those two things I wanted to get out of the way. Now, before I get to Pam Bondi in this FBI story specifically, I need to start from something I see coming in the future and work my way back from there to try to get my point across. So just stay with me here. I hate political violence. It's not that I hate all violence. I'm a dude. You know, I like to read about war and battle and things like that. And I've been to war and I've done violence and things like that. So I know how horrible it can be. And I got all that. But I'm talking about violence that pits citizen against citizen. Civil war type violence, where you are fighting each other in the streets of your country. It's the worst thing in the history of the world because the fighting takes place in your city, in your town, in your streets, in your schools. Your wife dies, your child dies, your husband dies. They die in your arms, in your own country, and everywhere it's ever been done, including here during our civil war, the stories just shatter your heart. They just break your heart. And it's not that dying on foreign soil is just fine. And it's not that dying when you're fighting invaders is just fine. But when it's citizen against citizen, there's nothing more personal and heartbreaking and awful because it's women and it's kids and it's our towns and it's awful. And people think that I am too hard or too harsh, or maybe too hard on the communists, too extreme sometimes. I need to explain this. This is not a bit. It's not a shtick. There's a reason I've talked like this since I came into politics. I talk this way because that's what I fear the most. And that's what I want to avoid the most. When people hear me talk, they think I'm violent. I consider myself the most nonviolent person in the movement because I'm desperate to stop us from ever getting to that place as a country. Now, we're going to walk back from there. So I don't ever want to see those days come to this country. I don't want anybody hurt, shot, killed here. I don't want communists dying. I don't want normal Americans dying. I don't want any American hurting other Americans. That is not what I want. It's what I'm desperate to avoid. Now, how do we avoid that? Well, societies always, always, always seek out a balance. No matter what system you are in, no matter what kind of political system, no matter what kind of period of time, it is the natural inclination of man to seek out a balance. And when things get out of whack one way, then they tend to swing, you know, pendulum style, wildly the other way. And then if they get out of whack that way, then they swing pendulum style back the other way. And that's how societies tend to go. For instance, what we're seeing right now. Why was Trump 1.0? He was really way too nice. Kind of a puppy dog. Even a little, you could say, naive if you wanted to be insulting. And yet the American people soured on him almost immediately. Fast forward just 4 years, and this Donald Trump is more harsh, more direct, not at all the naive puppy dog he was before. He is attacking the evil parts of this system. And if you pay attention at all to approval numbers, the American people love it. As of right now, the American people love it. How could that be? They kind of disliked puppy dog Trump, but they like harsher Trump? Well, 4 years of Joe Biden. 4 years of Joe Biden, the cadaver president, sitting there drooling on himself while the communists destroyed the country, gave the American people an appetite for a swing the other direction. Okay, so societies seek a balance. Now let's talk about where we are now. I needed to explain that to explain where we are now. Right now, as I just said, this is the balance that the American people are seeking. They voted to have robust border security. It's not like Donald Trump was lying on the campaign trail. It's not like he was shy about it. To be honest with you, I was a little stunned at how forward he was about his mass deportation plans after the primary was officially over. How that normally goes is Republicans run in a primary, I'll deport them all, build the wall, screw it. And then when the general election comes after they earn the nomination, well, we're going to try to do it the right way. Of course, we don't. You didn't see that from Trump this time. Mass deportation starts day one, period. Never stopped. The American people, even ones who may dislike Trump purposely, they chose Donald Trump as some sort of a return to balance. That's what they demanded. And it was overwhelming. He even won the popular vote. That never happens to Republicans anymore because of places like California. Overwhelmingly, the American people went to the polls and said, this madness stops. I'm voting for mass deportation. I'm voting to get all this gender crap out of here. I'm voting to stop dudes beating up women in sports and otherwise. That's what I'm voting for. So the American people chose to use their voice and their power at the ballot box to return a balance to the country. And that brings me to my concern. You see the level of resistance we're already facing right now from within the walls of the FBI, which I will get to specifically in a moment, from within FEMA, from the judges, the activist judges. Josh Hammer just talked about that. CDC, HHS, FDA, IRS, NSA, CIA. We have resistance coming from places we can't even imagine right now. What if they succeed? I'm very afraid of where we go from here if the resistance succeeds, and frankly, everyone should be. That will bring me to the FBI and more in a moment. Before I get to that, let's get smarter about some things, especially right now. A lot of people seem to think judges run the country. They need to take the free course from Hillsdale College on the Constitution. Hillsdale, they've been educating America's youth for years, the top university in the country. It's the one every sensible parent wants their kids to get into. Sadly, few of them will. My kids won't. But I love Hillsdale. I always have. I just love their classical education. I love that they teach courses on the fall of the Roman Republic, the ancient Christian church, and they offer more than 40 free classes online. There's no cost. You can take those classes now. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. You want to learn about Caesar? Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. No, I'm not talking about the salad dressing. Go enjoy the education. Let's discuss my fears next.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.